again. Good morning, NoCo. 8:38 on a Thursday morning, the first day of March Madness, the start of the best 4 days in sports. We're in the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schmidt, Brian Gary, Angel Padilla doing the production work as well. Joining us now up on the line, Miles Blumhart from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Miles, how are you, my friend?
Oh, it's a great day, right? Start of the NCAA tournament.
It is.
Yeah,
one of the best days.
I'm happy about that. I love AM sports.
Yes. You know, anytime there's a sporting event in the morning, it's fantastic. Miles, I got a question for you, though. We talked last week. You were reffing a game, one of the 1A state basketball games. Did you hear me heckling you? Because I certainly was.
Oh, no. The good thing about me is I'm older, and once there's some crowd noise going, I can't hear. In fact, I've missed some coaches' timeouts because I can't hear once the crowd noise. So that's the one good thing about getting older. Did you heckle me?
I did.
How were we?
I was yelling a couple times, but it was funny because so I was sitting in the Stratton area, and everybody knew that I knew you at that point because I'm like, yeah, I know Miles Blumhart. And the first couple times, there were some calls that you were nailing, man. You were right on it. And then as soon as they had, it was a questionable call to the one team. They're like, what's with your guy? And I'm like, do you think he's just going to give you every single call? Like, we can't do that.
So that worked for you to go in there and say, I know Miles Blumhart, and they actually smiled at you and
they
thought
did.
That was a cool thing?
They did.
Because I bring that up any restaurant I go into or anything. I say, you know, I know Miles Blumhart, and they look at me like, who?
Yeah.
That's it. But so,
exactly.
But I'm trying, man. I really am. And that is cool when we have that selective hearing at our age. I think any married man develops that as a survival skill.
Yeah, absolutely. But it does. I really can't. I can't hear much. And I can hear the crowd noise, and if somebody yells really, really loud, I can hear it. But, yeah, well, hopefully we did the team's justice, and I think Stratton actually got beat that game, so sorry about that.
They did, but, every once in a while when you came up to the scorer's table and were reporting a foul, man, I was yelling, come on, Sodak! Which was... Everybody's like, what is he calling him? Is that a new offensive word that he's calling
him? I'm going to call all refs Sodak.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what we call him now.
It's a new trend we started, Miles.
I could have flipped you some gang signals from
there. That wouldn't surprise me if you did, Miles. All right, let's dive in. We're talking NCAA tournament today. Who do you have winning it, Miles?
Well, because I've watched very little college basketball other than CSU, I have taken who else but Houston.
You got the favorite in there, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do? If you don't know what you're doing, you got to go with the favorite.
I kind of agree with that. We were talking, too, that I can't name you a player who's in the tournament. I pay attention to our local schools, and then when the tournament comes around, I'll pay attention to that. Regular season college basketball, I don't know anything about. And I ended up in my pool, in my bracket, I ended up having four number ones as my final four, Miles.
Well, I mean, it happens. We have a family pool, and like 2 years ago, I had two of my final four teams were out like in the first six games. So, no, I'm not kidding. I'm like, well, okay, I guess I'm just going to drink the rest of the tournament.
I don't know why I took UNC Asheville.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. What was it? Is it Farley Dickinson? Is that a team that played last night? Yeah, all the way, baby.
Yeah, Chris Farley and Angie Dickinson have teamed up on a team.
Ooh, good one. That Angie Dickinson, you know, Tanner's not going to get that one.
No, he's not, but she's from North Dakota, and I'll never forget Pepper Johnson on Police Woman.
All right.
There you go.
All right, Miles. Well, let's dive into some stuff here. The tensions are mounting in between ranchers and the people in charge of these wolves.
Yeah, it's too bad, right? For 4 months, these wolves did nothing to livestock, right? So, and cattle dogs up in North Park. Mainly, if you talk to the ranchers, it's because three of them got shot up in Wyoming. So that splintered the pack. So instead of having like seven, because we believe the breeding female died before. So instead of having seven in a pack, which they could kill just, you know, about anything they wanted, right? Because they had enough mouths there. Now they can't because most of them, they're seeing like one or two at a time. And that makes it very difficult because those wolves, when they're only at that number, usually aren't big enough to take down cows, and the cows are protective enough of their calves that they can't kill them. However, the two collared wolves that they just recollared in early February, the breeding male of the pack and one of its male pups, killed a working cattle dog and a pet dog Monday night into Tuesday up in North Park.
And so the response from the farmers up there, obviously, is anger at this point. Are they still being cooperative with the people, and vice versa? Are the people in charge of these wolves being cooperative with the ranchers? Is there at least still some form of understanding going on between the two?
Yeah, really, things they were getting pretty heated until those wolves got shot up in Wyoming, and then there wasn't depredations on livestock. And then most of the focus was really from both the pro wolf and those who don't want reintroduction. It was on the process of coming up with the state recovery plan. And so, you know, there was a lot of the tensions were focused towards that. But now with these dogs being killed, I was up there actually the day that this happened. I didn't know about it, but we were up talking to three different ranchers up there. Who have had depredations, and it's now, when I talked to them yesterday, it's back to right away. They're just not happy, and the reason they're not happy is because there's no lethal means to kill these two wolves because they are classified as endangered.
No, and this is my opinion. I won't talk for Miles. I won't talk for Brian. But when you put something as serious as the reintroduction of an apex predator to a ballot, there's a lot of things that don't get taken place, get taken care of ahead of time, like the reparations for the lost cattle, like these other aspects of what can we do? Is it, you know, if they catch them in the act of trying to attack my herd, can you shoot them? Hell, last night I was out checking the cattle, and here's a coyote out in my field. You know, the first thing you do is you try and kill them legally. That is how you handle it, and that was not set up because of the process that this went through for the reintroduction of wolves into the state of Colorado, right, Miles?
Yeah, there's a couple things there. One, the ranchers are being compensated.
They are.
When there are confirmed kills, they are. There is a special fund set up already for those, because you have to remember, right, these are not reintroduced wolves. These are wolves that naturally migrated down and had a pack of six pups. So they are getting compensated. So far, according to my count, there are, I think there's five cows, four dogs, and three calves that have been confirmed killed by wolves. Eight of those cases have been paid out in just at about $13,000. So there is that. There is compensation, and there will be compensation from the Proposition 114 that went through too, and they're negotiating that now. That final plan will come out May 3rd and 4th.
Have we actually reached the official reintroduction phase yet?
No, what they'll do is they'll reintroduce those wolves most likely probably next December.
So we're still that far out?
Yes, because they really, the optimal time to reintroduce those animals is in the winter.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to go. So the other thing that's happening is, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, has requested the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to go for a 10J rule, which then would allow lethal take of wolves, depredating wolves. And the problem with that is that may not be decided before these wolves are reintroduced. That's going to cause a big problem.
Is it just me, or is wolf activity on the rise, even though we haven't introduced them? Have they just heard this could happen and want to show us what they do?
You know, yeah. Actually, they were much more active when the pack was running together. They have not been real active since that pack splintered. So, and that's why it was kind of nice, because then, you know, the tensions would go down. But here's the problem. Cattle are one thing. The dogs, it gets really personal with these ranchers, and that's what they were saying yesterday. It's really personal.
It is, because that's an extension of the family there, Miles. I want to go back to what you were talking about with the reparations for this. $13,000, was that for the eight head loss, the five cows and the three calves? Is that where that was from?
Yeah, so there was like, I think there's five cows that were compensated. I think there were two dogs, the two early dogs. There was two killed, in the first month that these wolves started killing. And then I believe there's three calves that they paid for.
Okay, so the dogs were included
total.
In that.
Yeah, so your working cattle dogs are covered. I don't believe the pet dog is going to be covered.
No, it's interesting, and you know, I just sit here and start doing some of the math on it, you know, and I'd be curious how the breakdown of that is, because right now we're seeing, you know, the cattle market going crazy, you know, the prices are just skyrocketing right now. How do you put a value on it? Is it the value of the time that it happened? Like, what is that process like? Because you just break it down, you know, with all those numbers, and you're looking over $1,000 a head, but, you know, these pairs, good pairs are selling for well over that.
Yeah, what they do is they pay fair market value at the time of death.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I think generally, I believe the cows, I believe, were around, I don't know, 2,000 apiece maybe.
Yeah.
And I think most of the calves are maybe half that or maybe even less, because some of them, you know, were really small. But again, as the ranchers will tell you, okay, I've lost a cow, a breeding cow, right?
Right.
But I'm not getting paid for all of the other calves that cow would have had.
100%, which is true.
I mean, that's the way it is now. With the under the new plan that will come out, there will be some added compensation for that.
Oh, there is. Okay. See, and
there's a ratio.
That makes sense, because,
yes,
you know, I'm sure the payout process, whenever you're talking about, you know, the government handling something like this, I'm sure the payout process takes some time. So unless you go and get that check and you go straight to the sale barn and buy another one, you know, the way the market's going, that's only going to continue to go up. So it just, there's a whole mess on that back end. Very fascinating stuff, Miles. Thanks for digging in on that side. All right, let's jump over to this story, which I'm perplexed by, and our GM Brady Hull jumped in here yesterday and asked me this question. I couldn't give an answer for him. Why is it illegal to go shed antler hunting? Why is that illegal?
Yeah, well, it's really illegal to protect wildlife during winter, especially like elk and deer, because during the winter, obviously, they're in stress, right? Because of, especially in big snow years like this. So if you look, there's a number of public recreational areas that are closed in winter because there's the winter migration, the elk winter on these grounds. So there is precedence that some of these places, they don't want recreationists disturbing the wildlife, and that's why they don't want people out there shed hunting. But the problem with it is, so shed hunting is illegal from January 1st till April 30th. And then by then, you know, we're coming out of winter and people start looking for sheds, and it is extremely popular.
Oh, man.
Yes, it is. Because, you know, for elk antlers, if they're brown, so the best antlers are brown, the second ones are white, and then the other ones are chalky. But for, you know, if you have brown elk antlers, you can get $12 to $16 a pound. And, you know, those might weigh like, you know, one of them might weigh like 20 pounds. So, you know, there's some money to be made. A lot of people use them for, you know, you see the chandeliers and whatever. The problem is, see, people start sneaking out there before May 1st, and that's why it's kind of a big deal. They start going out there now when they're not supposed to.
I know people who get in line up. They love to get these things for decorations, for doing projects. And a lot of people I've seen using them for chew toys for dogs.
Yes. I mean, you know, that's another thing. It's really no different than those who mushroom hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, mushroom hunting is a big thing. It doesn't have a season like shed antlers, but it's got and I don't know if it's called a cult following, but it's got a strong following.
Mushroom hunting.
Hey, we used to go hunting morel mushrooms.
Those are the best ones, right?
Yeah, down by the river bottoms, when you'd go down there and they would come in, they were absolutely delicious.
Yeah, they are unbelievably good.
I think I've figured out Aaron Rodgers' retirement plan when he eventually retires. Jake Plummer's already doing it, man. He's found a lot of those shrooms.
You realize those two refer to me as Yoda?
Yeah. Good Lord. Goodness.
How do you put up with him, Tanner?
Eventually it's going to take medicine or those mushrooms. Yeah. It's going to take one of those two to do so, Miles. Miles Blumhardt with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Miles, really always appreciate having you on the show. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, but we're going to be out at the Eaton Country Club for a college basketball watch party. We'd love to have you come out and join us.
Ooh, what time are you going to be out there?
10 a.m. to 4 p.m., baby.
Okay, maybe I'll be more on the back end of that.
Okay.
Maybe, and we'll share a beverage of choice.
Yes, I'd love 100%. That, Miles. The first round's on Brian. So appreciate it, Miles.
I love it. You take care, gentlemen.
You too, Sodak.
I love it.
All right, see you, buddy. There's Miles Blumhardt, Fort Collins, Colorado in there. The wolf thing still gets me incredibly fired up. It hits home for me. I know the cattle.
Well, it hits home for a lot of people in the ag industry especially.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones who really have to deal with what happens as far as when people vote to reintroduce
right.
and so forth. Most of the people, the majority, I think, who vote don't really know what it is they're doing. They just think that I want to help animals.
Again,
I understand the heart of, but we need to look into the agricultural impact.
Yeah, no, I say let's release them in Boulder and in downtown Denver. That'll solve a lot of problems. 8:54 the time. Let's get the latest in the nerd world. Here's Micah Kilpatrick.